So we're looking at this subject of the first fruits today. And just a reminder, really, that although we celebrate harvest kind of end of September, early October time, there's a harvest happening around us all through the summer of the gathering and collecting of various crops. And it's significant, I think, as we look into what that meant for the lives of the ancient Israelites and what it can mean for us as Christians as well, as we think of this idea of the first fruits and bringing them to God in our lives. So this reading comes from the book of Deuteronomy today. Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the Bible, and it is actually a retelling of many of the things that we find in Exodus, the second book of the Bible, because it's in Exodus that Moses goes up Mount Sinai. He receives the law from God of how they will live in the promised land when they come to it. And when you get to Deuteronomy, they're entering the land. They've gone into the land, and now there's a retelling of much of what God has said through Moses for this new generation, that they would remember what God has said to them. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3, "Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you." So it is God's desire for people to follow his commands, for the simple reason that if they do that, things are going to go well for them, because he loves them, because he wants to guide them. And it's repeatedly expressed in the book of Deuteronomy that they're to follow these laws in order for things to go well with them. And as we read that about the Israelites and going into the promised land, it's a wonderful confirmation for us as God's people of what his posture is like towards us. God wants things to go well for us. God loves us. God wants us to know his guidance and his presence and his care in our lives. He wants us to learn his ways and to be blessed with his presence, his joy and his hope. So what are the Israelites actually doing in this passage today? Well, there's a slide that come up after this one on the screen, which tells us a little bit just about the basics of what they're being called to do in this passage from Deuteronomy today. Firstly, they've entered the land. And what they need to do now is to take some of the first fruits of the harvest and put them into a basket and then bring them to the temple of the Lord, give them to the priest. He then places it in front of the altar, and then they are to recite some words. So on the next slide, I've actually got the words written out again. So I'll read these out. Just think it's important for us to look at the words that they're saying. It says, "My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me." So it's a beautiful statement, really, that the people of Israel would come into God's temple, would bring their first fruits, their first and their best, and they would recall before the Lord what he had done for them, that he was a God who is a rescuing God, a redeeming God, a God who provides and sustains by giving them this promised land to live within. And we could actually say a very similar statement as Christians today, because we may not have been held captive by the Egyptians this morning, but we can say as Christians we have been held captive by sin, that we kept doing the things that were wrong. And we may not have been rescued from Egypt by Moses, but we've been rescued from sin by Jesus through the cross. That he gives us his new life through his Holy Spirit in our hearts, and he's given us that promised land of heaven that Richard was alluding to earlier, the heavenly kingdom, the new Jerusalem, that we will come into either when we come to the end of our lives or when Jesus comes again. And so in response to this, just like the Israelites, we give God our very first and our very best in our lives. We give him our day. We give him our talents. We give him our decisions. We give him our dreams. We give him our desires. We give him our loyalty. Because he's given us freedom and a heavenly destination. We'll go on to the next slide. Let's talk for a minute about football, which will probably make some people very pleased and others maybe not so. But when England's women's team won the Euros last month, they did so because they gave it their all, because we didn't put up just any old footballers into the championship. You put up your best footballers into a championship like the Euros. And you do that because you're showing respect for the tournament. You recognise that in a tournament like that, the other nations that are involved in that, the other countries will have put in training, devotion, time, preparation. And so we do that too, because the Euros are special and they mean something to us. And as we talked about earlier today, we can go back to the first slide. Well, go back to slide five. When we give God our best, we're declaring something similar about God. We give the Euros your best footballers because we think the Euros are important. We give God our first and our best because he is important. We're saying, God, you are special. You are worth so much to me. You've done so much for me. Therefore, I don't bring you the scraps from underneath my table. I bring you my first and my best. I bring you the best of all that I have. And have you ever wondered what is done with the basket of fruits on this occasion, after they've been brought to the temple, after they've been laid at the altar? Well, after the basket was presented and the declaration was made, the basket became the property of the priests. It says in Numbers chapter 18, verse 13, the first ripe of all that is in their land, which they bring to the Lord, shall be yours. And when this is written, it's talking to the Levitical priesthood. So why did it go to the priests? There's a spiritual reason and there's a practical reason. The spiritual reason is that we remember that the priests are God's representatives in that temple, that they're receiving these things on behalf of the Lord. But the practical part of that is actually that the Levitical priests didn't have any land of their own to grow crops on and therefore to feed themselves. So when the food was brought to the temple and it went to them, this was a way that actually the people within the land were helping them. It was a service to God and to the people that God had put in those places to look after them as spiritual leaders and caretakers. Now, one aspect, final aspect of this first fruit offering is that they're to party. The end of verses 10 and then verse 11 says, place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. It's challenging when you read who is involved in the party. Not just the landowners, but the priests, and not just the landowners and the priests, but the foreigners residing among the people, residing in their nation, living among them. And that is a challenge for us today, you know, because we live in an era where there is much suspicion and there is much hesitance about foreigners turning up on our shores. And of course, this isn't a call from me that we should all be naive about certain situations, but at the same time that we need to pray deeply about how we can fully and wisely exercise our Christian duty of hospitality towards people, even in times which are undoubtedly challenging and complicated. But this isn't me trying to make a political statement. This is a spiritual statement, because big decisions face our country in the months and years ahead. And so we need big prayer to our big God. God's wisdom is required. And the people to show people where that wisdom comes from is us, God's people, praying, setting the example. What we see in the offering of the first fruits is a biblical theme which runs all the way through the Bible. And that is namely this, that if you give God your first and best, he will multiply what we give him so that it may overflow and bless those who are around us as well. And this is another reason why this passage on the first fruits is so relevant to the people being rescued from Egypt. It says in verse 5, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. Now, commentators think the wandering Aramean might be Abraham or Jacob or perhaps Joseph, but the fact is that God's people went into the land of Egypt. It was Jacob, his sons, his family, his servants, and God was faithful. He turned a family into an entire nation. They went in as those perhaps about 70 people with Jacob's servants and the brothers and the family, etc. And then after the time of testing that they knew they would have because God had already warned Abraham about it, they came out as a nation. And Abraham became the father of a nation. And then now we look around at the world and we see Christians from all over the globe and we realize that Abraham has become a father of many nations, just as God had promised, grafted in to the original root of Israel. What a faithful God we have. Something that's really important for us to remember about first fruits and what it means for the future is that having a good first fruits was a sign that greater things were to come. A good first fruit meant this looks like a good harvest to me. We can expect more of this. And therefore, the Apostle Paul described Jesus and his resurrection as being the first fruit from among the dead. Because Christ's resurrection is a guarantee as a Christian that you will also be raised to life. He is the first fruits of the harvest. There is a greater harvest to come. There is a greater resurrection to come in Jesus. As Paul said in Romans 8:11, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. So where do we go from there? I think what we need to remember as human beings is that God is the original giver. I don't know about you, but I didn't put this planet here. I suddenly turned up here one day and thought, this looks nice. Because God is the original giver and we are the original receiver. And the world that we live in, the earth, the moon, the sun, the stars, is created and sustained by God. And all of the minerals which we use to make our man-made things like this, you know, stand here, this was originally a bunch of resources in the ground somewhere that came with the planet that God gave us. And through the ingenuity that God has given us in our minds, we can turn the things that he's put into the ground into banisters and pianos and whatnot, because he's given us resources, he's given us ingenuity, creativity, like him, because we're made in the image of God. But all of it comes from God. God is the beginning and the end of everything. As he said himself in Isaiah 43:10, before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. We are in the blessed place of being receivers of what God wants to give to us. And it's our role as his children to take the things that God gives us and to create something wonderful in praise of his name. Could be a marvellous ministry of lifting up and encouraging others as we share the heart of God with others and point them back to him. And notice how in the offering of the first fruits, the landowners not only brought the offering, but they were declaring what they were going to do with it. It was because of God's goodness and saving power at the time of the Exodus. Today as Christians, we do good works and at the same time, we need to remember to proclaim the person that we're doing it for. Proclaim his goodness, his saving power, shown through Jesus Christ at the cross. When we do that and when we bring all that we are and all that we've been given by God to him, bring him our first and best, we will see more wonderful things happen from that. Your offering is only the beginning of all God is going to do. So are you ready to put first things first, giving to God your first and best, giving him the first place in your life by turning away from the things that are against him and wholeheartedly putting your faith and hope in him? Maybe you need to put God back in that place today. You might hear Christians say sometimes, I've lost my first love. You know, they've lost that place where Jesus should be in their life, and they need to give the reins back to him. Maybe you need to put him there for the first time. So myself and Ella are on the prayer ministry team today. So we're happy to pray for you, or you might want to pray for someone you've come with or that you know well. But that is there to offer to you today. How do we put God first in our life at this time? Let's pray together.